Raymond with the cross. Jacola can't gather. Is this the equaliser? It is! Bromley have scored. Chris Bush has turned it in. Delirium for their fans behind the goal. And you have to say they deserve it. It's Bristol Rovers 1, Bromley 1.
What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me. And that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 51 of Ravens Weekly, official Bromley FC podcast, proudly sponsored by our friends at the Bridge Bar in Beckenham. As ever, I'm joined by Cookie.
Hello.
And Matt.
Afternoon.
Brilliant. Guys, what have we got coming up on this week's show?
So first off, we're going to have a look at the match away to Bristol Rovers, which took place on Sunday.
We are going to be catching up with Neil Smith after that match.
We're also going to hear from the man of the moment and the hero of the day, Chris Bush.
And we are going to be get me words out. I haven't even started yet. We're going to be previewing Harrogate.
We are indeed. We're going to give you an update on how tickets are selling for the replay on Tuesday.
And talking about the replay on Tuesday, we'll be looking ahead to that fixture.
We're going to hear from Michael Klass as well, who makes his podcast debut.
We're going to talk about our evening with Stuart Pearce in the venue.
And then I believe we're going to have a question, an actual real question that people might answer. Watch this space.
Fantastic. Right, so obviously, where to start, really? Bristol Rovers away, I guess.
Yes, I think that is the natural place to start, isn't it? Obviously, the disappointment of Wrexham behind us. I think we put on a display, which was far beyond a National League club. And if you would have walked
Scenes,
in,
bruv.
If you would have walked in and watched that game, you would have thought we were the League One club and they were the National League club, I think. But shout out to Bristol Rovers, very welcoming club. From cool, minute
not,
one.
Not when we left.
All right.
I'll carry on. But they left. They were lovely when we got in.
From the staff behind the scenes, I found anyway to be very welcoming.
No, everyone's great. The whole build up to the thing, everything, they've been fantastic with us. A massive shout out to the number of fans who made it. 521, I think, was the official figure in the end handed out, which is absolutely amazing effort. And a big thank you to those who've also dropped us a message to pass on their thanks to Chairman Robinson and Gleaves as well. I know that's been greatly appreciated. And obviously, on that note, obviously a fantastic gesture from the chairman there, and like I said, to take 521 down to Bristol was absolutely fantastic, and it was absolutely rocking in that stand. It was brilliant.
It was one of the best games I've been to. Fans didn't stop singing. Matt, you could hear us from the press gantry.
Yeah,
I mean, to be fair to Matt, shout out to Matt on the day. Matt's literally the only one who was working. the rest of us were just on a jolly boy's hand by the sounds of it. But it was James Kitman, everyone done a fantastic job on Saturday. Logistics, hotel beforehand was, despite the fact there was a wedding, but it was a silent disco, so that worked out well.
Pay Mark Hammond's
birthday. But I must admit that the logistics planning and everything all really went well. And a shout out to everyone involved in that. It went fantastically well. And the day, I must admit, really poignant, the service beforehand for the minute silence, etc. That I thought that was quite...
Two minute silence, quite, really well respected.
Amazingly well observed by everyone. And and I know Jack Holland obviously had the club brief that he took out as well, which was lovely to see. But like I say, the noise was just non-stop. It was absolutely fantastic. And it was such an awful... I don't know everyone else. I was sort of on like the first or second row of that seating. And you had no idea of perspective. So when the ball was going through to someone, you had no idea if they were on the edge of the box or like only midway inside the half. It was actually a terrible view. We were like directly behind the goal net, and I think the crossbar was like in the way of the other end. But Matt, you were obviously up in the gods and in the main stand on that right hand side.
I was in the gods. I could spot you lot from that distance.
How was it?
it was interesting where the goal went in. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah. There were three of us in a stand of maybe 400 or 500.
Of course, who thought it was you, Ronan, Paddy?
No, Ronan was over the other side. It was me, Paddy, and Steve McCartney. Kent Footy was up there as well. And we were just going absolutely mental when the goal went in. Everyone around us, we were just getting some funny looks.
I mean, look, back to the game itself. 0-0 at half-time. Let's get it right. Not be funny. 7 minutes in, there were people around me going, "Paul, we're doing all right here." Because it was 0-0, you know. And you've always got that. You flash back to previous games and stuff in the past. But we half-egged on it about it last time with regards to the Peterborough game. and the fact that maybe that was a little benchmark of actually where our side possibly was at moving forward, the fact that we were playing a league side and stuff. So you hope that was going to be a good barometer for what might have come on Sunday. And to be fair, it pretty much was. We were just like Peterborough game. At first half, we were as good as them.
Yeah, I think you're right, Jeff. And can I just say as well, 5 minutes before half-time, we lost our first player of the afternoon, Luke Coulson. So that obviously meant an alteration in tactics, which obviously wasn't ideal at that time in the game. And it was a first half where we looked extremely comfortable on the ball and actually had more chances than them. I don't think either keeper was really tested. But at half-time, you'd be very happy being a Bromley supporter, Bromley player, Bromley coach, just with what you saw in the first
100%.
Half.
100%.
In the first half, I think the best shot come from Adam Mekki. A shot
that was
so powerful.
Off. That was second half.
Was
yeah.
it second half?
Yeah,
because it broke the guttering right in front of me, didn't it?
Broke the guttering, yeah.
But yeah, that was the only thing first half. You know when you're thinking, right, perfect situation? The perfect situation was we didn't score first half and it was 0-0, and second half they're scoring at our end because yeah. It was the end we were shooting, you know, you want probably to shoot towards the end that you're standing at and everything like that. And but like you say, mate, first four substitution before half time, go, okay. Second half, we start second half. Luke Coulson with an absolutely fantastic recovery challenge.
Yeah.
Just on the halfway line, I think it was, as Bristol Rovers were breaking. Unfortunately, he did himself damage in that process.
Yeah.
So that was a second force sub of the game. And Neil, we love him all dearly. There was a third sub. And as a
literally
fan,
a minute after that
and,
one.
And as a fan, you're going, oh my God, we've made three subs and we've still got half an hour to go. And you're thinking, no, here we go. And then obviously Clifton, was it like, I mean, so I still haven't seen the challenge.
Clifton basically, he said he went in for a challenge and someone fell on his knee and just put his knee the wrong way. He tried carrying on, didn't he? And went off for like a couple of minutes, come back on, off and on. And then that was it. He just couldn't do any more. He couldn't run. He couldn't
Let's get it right. It was, did we concede? Clifton was on the pitch. We conceded.
Yes.
We did have the 11
yes.
men. We conceded.
Yes.
He got injured after the goal? After?
No, it was before the goal.
Just before the goal,
yeah. It was literally a few minutes after he came on. He came on 61 minutes, so...
And to be fair, that was one of their only shots on target.
It was their only shot
in that second half. And then you can't help yourself. And I don't care if someone tells me, oh, yeah, no problem, I believe we still get... We all believe, of course we do, we have a favourite team. But when that goal went in for that moment, everybody in that whole stand... Don't get me wrong, there was that moment of silence, everyone got up going again and bouncing and singing. But you're all in the back of your head going, I can't believe this.
No,
we've just conceded, we're now down to 10 men.
Previous years in the first round
exit. This is just ridiculous. This is the Bromley way. This is just an awful pessimistic way to look at it, but you just can't help it. But you always know from a set piece, and I think we said it before the game, that there's always some kind of chance. But that corner, when Bush flipped it back over, it went in slow-mo. I can see, feel, hear all of it right now, just talking about it.
And I was standing next to Jeff, obviously, and Christina Andrews, and she just said, like, from the corner, she was like, this is going in. I was like, oh, no, it's going in. And literally, she was leaning forward. When that ball come over, like you said, slow motion, and you just see their keeper that we was giving stick to all the second half. And he just made that mistake.
Jacola, that was it.
Jacola. And then he just, Chris Bush, just with a little flick of the foot behind him.
I don't know how he managed to sort of wrap it round and back over everybody. And
Cheek's there to make sure.
And you know what? When Cheek posted the line, I just naturally looked at the line. You know, when you just think, oh my God, no. And absolutely. And it sparked absolute joyous scenes on the television. We're not going to go into too much detail, but we'll leave that to the police. But absolutely superb. And seeing people and people laugh and joke and the pitch incursion and things like that happens. But it, for me personally, looking round there and seeing fans young and old and fans that you know have been supporting the club recently and have, you know, fantastically come on board as part of the progress the club's made in the last decade and that. But to also see other fans that were there 10, 15 years ago, even when I first started coming and you were having 400 here on Tuesday night and the familiar faces that made you feel so welcome back then, to see their faces, the reactions of them and people just like hugging each other, just cannot believe what we've just witnessed. And what minute was the goal?
83rd.
And then, because that was it, so like bang, countdown begins. And
7 minutes additional time as well, wasn't it?
That was it, yeah.
Oh, God.
Plenty of stoppages in fairness, so it was justified.
Were there any other chances after that though?
Josh Reese with a header from a corner which was inches away. Oh. We thought it had gone in. Up in the press box, it was so close, and Bromley really did dominate that game in terms of chances. You know, you look at the stats; it's quite incredible, really, how many chances we actually had.
And you've got to think A, like I said, fantastic travelling support down there, and it was great to see so many in the Ravens Bar afterwards as well when we got back that evening. Shout out to everybody who stayed there and had another drink. It was great to speak to everyone. And we've done an awful job of trying to put that into words, but luckily, I think Matt, you managed to catch up with Neil Smith after the game to get his thoughts on the fantastic result.
Neil, an absolutely immense performance. You would not know there was a two. Division gap between the two sides today.
I'm so proud of those players, every one of them. Supporters were amazing. They got behind them. You could hear them all the time out singing Bristol Rovers today, and I was so proud. I was so proud and thoroughly deserved to get a result today.
521 of them Bromley fans. It is really amazing, isn't it? And the gesture from Robin today on the three coaches has made a massive
absolutely difference. And I think that sums up the club. You know, we're in it together. We support each other. And to get the following that we did was amazing, and for Robin to pay for the travel as well for the supporters, fantastic. And you know, we've given them a chance to bring them back to our place, and the supporters can get behind us again.
Did you feel we dominated the game overall? That seems to be the
yeah, I did. But sometimes you get in these games, that's take your moment. We had a couple of moments that we didn't quite take, but I thought we played some really good stuff, and I think we maybe surprised a few people. But I know what these players can do. I'm proud of them. I'm so proud of them, and hopefully their supporters and the families are proud as well.
And I think there were some comments, the main thing as well, how calm and composed we were. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I've got good players in this side. I've got Frankie Raymond, I've got Billy Bingham, I've got Chris Bush, Jack Holland. I could go through the team, and they've all played at this level and above, and we need to be given credit sometimes about what players we've got at this club and how good they are. Today they proved it.
We did deserve to go behind. It must have been a bit disheartening when we did.
It was, you know, obviously they made the sub. Ryan's made a great save, pushed it out, and they scored a rebound. You're just like, not today, please. You know, I think we deserved a draw at minimum. And then, you know, you lose Clifton as well. We go down to 10 men. The boys just never gave up. And you're always known with a set play from Frankie or Coulson or Billy Bingham, you're going to get a goal, and luckily we did.
Carnage was the word, I think, after the goal.
I'll take carnage.
Press box,
I'll take carnage. They thoroughly deserved it. Supporters were amazing. The staff, you know, and even the players that are not involved, they're part of this. They're part of this, and you know, we're going to enjoy our trip home today.
And I suppose the only one negative is the three or four injuries today in the game. What are you going to have to do?
Well, we'll assess them tomorrow. We'll see how they are. I think there's one probably more serious than the rest, but you know, I know now that I can play any player from this squad, and they'll give me a shift like they did today. They were amazing. They thoroughly deserved that, being in the hat for the next round.
And obviously, attention's turned back to the league with the visit of Harrogate Town, who are in great form.
Yeah, good team. Very good team. Simon's done a fantastic job there. A great little club. Obviously, we know a couple of the players, Brendan Keenan and the like. So we don't expect anything other than a very difficult game, and I've just got to make sure that I've got a squad fit enough to play against them.
Well, Neil, an immense display this afternoon. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Great to hear from Neil Smith there. Obviously, very proud. Very proud manager, Matt.
Yeah, and one of the people who's very proud of Chris Bush, obviously having scored the goal. And just think, as a team, the belief you could see in the fans, in the players, and as a team, they really, really, really did themselves proud. And Neil's very right to be proud of them, because they were absolutely phenomenal on all fronts. And as I alluded to there, Chris Bush, a key component of that, not only because of the goal, which everyone has been talking about, but because of a really assured defensive display, lots of balls into the box in the final few minutes, and he dealt with all of them. He was absolutely phenomenal. And I managed to catch up with him on that and a couple of other things as well. Chris Bush, we do turn our attentions back to the league now, but let's have a little recap on Sunday. Quite an occasion for the club, and you certainly played your part.
Yeah, definitely. I thought we went into the game with a right mentality. We approached it the right way, as we always do every game, and we just gave a good account of ourselves. And I'm glad we come away with at least a draw, because I felt like we deserved it. Unfortunate with the injuries that we got, and going down to 10 men for the best part of half hour. But I think credit to all the boys, we were a good day out, and I'm glad the supporters was there to enjoy it.
And if you'd have walked in and watched the game, I don't think you'd have known there was a two division gap between the sides, and if anything, it looked like we were the more comfortable of the two teams.
Yeah, I believe so. I felt during playing the game, I felt we looked comfortable, and we didn't really look under pressure or under the cosh, really. I thought we held our own against a good team who were doing well in their league, and we gave a good account of ourselves and also for the league as well. And we're sitting top of the, I like to think we're sitting top of the league for a reason. So yeah, I felt we gave ourselves a right opportunity and we took that.
And obviously going 1-0 down, it was their first real chance of the game. It was a great save initially by Ryan, and unlucky to concede. Must have been a bit disheartening, but the comeback and the response was really quick.
Yeah, definitely. It was a bit, I'm very unfortunate going 1-0 down. Didn't feel like we should, and quite fortunate to get the rebound and score. But yeah, credit to all the boys. We knew what we're capable of with the throws and the set pieces and the free kicks, and we managed to take advantage of one of them.
And let's talk about your goal. Was it deliberate, or were you trying to hook it back across the box?
Yeah, I was just trying to hook it across the box. It was only because of the angle that I was at that I see it had gone in before Cheeky had touched it. But then looking at the videos, it could have been Cheeky's goal from where he was. But I just, yeah, we always try to keep the ball alive in the box, and we're always a danger at set pieces. So just being able to be in there and having people amongst it. I know we scored, but if you take another look, we've probably got about four players inside the 6-yard box, which says something, and we've kept it alive and we've got the goal from it.
And we obviously take Bristol Rovers to a replay back here at Hayes Lane. Let's talk about Harrogate first, though. Tensions back to the Liga and a side who are in really good form at the minute.
Yeah, they're coming here off the back of some good league results, a good performance against Portsmouth in the FA Cup, so we know what their strengths are. But like any game this season, we're just going to approach it the same way we always do. Make sure we get our fundamentals right, make sure we have a foundation to build from, to go in and whether we win the game in the first minute or the 90th minute, we're giving ourselves a plan to go in and do that. And if we stick with the plan, then more than anything, we normally come away with the right result.
And obviously then it does turn back to the FA Cup. Bristol Rovers here on Tuesday, and we could be looking at a sellout. What does that mean to the boys?
Oh, it's everything. It's everything for the fans and the people who've been associated with the club for a very long time. Days like this is what people dream for in football. You want a bigger team coming to your home ground and feeling what it's like to be in a non-league ground again. And we're just giving ourselves every possibility to just... Well, I know we look at it as a game, but I know we get into the next round, but we just want to win each game as it comes with our... and just make sure we have the right application going into the game, and the rest will take care of itself. The boys have been working extremely hard over the last couple of days to get ourselves ready for Harrogate and putting Bristol Rovers to the side. But when that comes on Tuesday, we'll be ready and up for it as we was the last Saturday and as we will be for tomorrow. So it's just about the right application and just approaching every game as the same way and just going out and trying to get a good result.
And finally, have you considered a career in modelling? Obviously the new hats are in, and I believe you've got one, haven't you?
Yeah, I was very pleased to get a hat. I'm not going to lie, it was one of the best. It is one of the best. I love a hat. I like to keep my head warm, and it is one of the very most comfortable hats I've had. And yeah, you can see me modelling it. So if you want to purchase one, I don't give discounts out, unfortunately. Sorry, but I support the club, and it's all going to a great cause, and we're all in it together, and that's the main thing. You can see me wearing one of the hats on match day or training day. To see a fan wearing it, brilliant. So we're all in it together. There's no divide, so we're all going in the right direction.
Chris, thank you for that, and best luck for tomorrow.
Thank you. Cheers.
I haven't got my new hat yet. Have you got your hat?
I haven't, no. But
Cookie had the sample. Yeah. Did you have the sample, Cook?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, him and Jerry have sorted. They're fine.
Oh, they're so, okay.
Yeah, they're all right.
They're
no problem.
Here, though, aren't they? They could pick them up tomorrow for those who have pre-ordered them.
They are. They're already.
I've got to get my one as well.
They look fantastic. Really, really nice colours. You've got the winter hat as well, the grey one, and you've got the bobble hat as well.
I like the bobble hat. The problem is I'm already 6 foot something. I'll put that on. I can't get through a door. See, it's true. Where we go next?
We are going to talk about the small matter of a league game against
Harrogate.
Of course,
there's a top of the table Bromley team in action on Saturday in a league game.
Yeah, against a side who are in
fantastic form.
Everyone
sort of forgot about that, really.
And only 4 points behind us, let's not forget that. They had a bit of an indifferent start to the season, and they struggled a little bit, to be honest. But since the last 10 or so games, they've been in absolutely fantastic form. And like I say, they're now seventh in the league on 32 points. They obviously had an FA Cup game at home to Portsmouth.
Lights out.
Yeah, lights like out. Yeah, well.
All of that local power cut in the area. It's funny, that all the houses around the stadium seem to have their lights on, didn't they?
It was certainly...
Probably no one.
Certainly a very...
Well, you've been there, haven't you? Or was it Aldershot?
Yes, it was Aldershot, yeah.
Oh, dear, yeah.
Certainly a very...
That brought back bad memories, that did.
Very odd one, that's for sure. But they've been in fantastic form.
Power outage.
They've been in fantastic form, like I've been saying recently. And that was only stopped with a 4-2 defeat to Eastleigh. So they're not a fan of playing teams on the South Coast.
Eastleigh, to be fair.
4-2, they lost to Eastleigh. Scott Rendell getting a hat-trick in that one, actually. And obviously then they lost to Portsmouth. So they haven't won in their last two games. But prior to that, they had some fantastic results. In particular, you look at games beating Sutton, Ebbsfleet, beating FC Halifax Town, and even since then, victories over Aldershot Town, a last-minute winner. And those all add up, and they're now seventh in the table after, like I said, a bit of an average
really
start
test
to the season.
For those who watched the behind-the-scenes documentary of those managers last season, obviously Smudge was on there. Simon Weaver. Simon Weaver's on there. He came across really well, I must admit.
The
whole club came across really well. Obviously, they've got Brendan Keane in there.
Lovely guy.
You know.
He's their top scorer.
I absolutely love Brendan. You know, there were question marks whether he'd make it at this level with us and stuff like that. But he's gone there, and obviously
he's flying.
Absolutely ripping it up. And I'm actually really, really delighted. Looking forward to seeing him. I must admit.
It'll be nice. Right. Let's just hope he has a quiet game tomorrow. But
yes, yeah.
Brendan, great guy.
Talking about the ticket sales, obviously dramatically flying for the FA Cup. But to be fair, Harrogate as well taking a fantastic leap the last few days. Online, which has been great to see. So really hopeful for another 2,000 plus crowd on Saturday. For those of you unaware, it's the international break, so. For Palace, Millwall, Charlton fans, etc., have not got a game to go to, have they? So, any of your Football League supporting mates, make sure you give a click round here and get down here for some proper football.
Absolutely.
Tickets are sold on the website, www.bromleyfc.co.uk. And obviously, the other game that's on sale, Matt, is the little FA Cup replay fixture against Bristol Rovers.
Tuesday, the 19th of November, kickoff 7:45. Obviously, football under floodlights, there's nothing better. Could it be a historic night at Hayes Lane?
Over 2,500 already sold.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Season ticket holders, obviously, we've kept them on reserve for them, so they're guaranteed a ticket. We're going to be having them on sale at the game against Harrogate Saturday.
Yep, tomorrow.
So that can be available from the club office. And I've got to be honest, at the current rate, you'd like to think we could possibly sell out before Monday night, Matt.
Yeah, it looks like that is a very strong possibility at the minute.
So we'll see how that goes. Obviously, all the ticket details, usual ticket prices, £15 for adults, £10 for seniors, £5 for students and unaccompanied kids. And kids go free with the adult again. So again, pop down the club office to purchase them, or alternatively on the website, bromleyfc.co.uk.
Yes, and obviously, speaking about that match, there was the second round draw on Monday. It was great to see Neil Smith and Mark Hammond actually on the TV, poking their heads about in the background of the initial bit. And then after the draw, they did get a little interview, or Neil did anyway. So it was great to see Neil on the telly in the bar.
Oh, yeah, where was that?
That was Chichester.
Chichester.
Yeah, and there was a great reception for it in the bar. Massive shout out to the usual lot who came down and watched it in the bar. It was certainly a very frantic few minutes for us being drawn, being the last team or the second last team to be drawn out of the hat. So really interesting to be drawn at home to Plymouth. Oh, the winner of this fixture is drawn.
Did you watch it at Ravens Bar?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, Cookie, where did you watch it? Apologies, Cookie pretending to work behind us.
At home with my kids.
At home with his kids. And I was at home, and I was, you know, every club comes up and you think, I couldn't stand that. I was walking around the room pacing. I've got to be honest though, when it got to the last 10 or 12 teams, I remember going, I don't fancy any of them really.
No.
So my only concern was that our ball came out first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay, that was
just,
it.
Just give us home
that
game then. Okay. If there's a possibility, just give us home game. And then to go down to the last two was absolutely fantastic. I've got to be honest, I was like, please be home. Lovely part of the world, don't be wrong. But for an FA Cup game,
you want to be
you're going
home.
To be a Mio and you might get there, you'd love to be the home. And
definitely.
And touch wood, that's what we've been granted with.
Yeah, so fingers crossed.
And we're not really talking about it, unfortunately, but we have to. But there's actually logistics, the planning of it, everything like that. We actually have to do with the FA, despite the fact that the fixture might not take place, results dependent on Tuesday.
Speaking of which,
I hope I'm not breaching any embargo or anything like that, but it's going to be moved, isn't it, if we do get through?
Yes.
It's going to be moved to the Sunday.
Yes. Another thing that's going to be moved is obviously the Yeovil game that who are out of the FA Cup.
Oh,
if we progress, the Yeovil game will be moved.
Oh, I'd hate for them to come up here on a Tuesday night.
On a Tuesday, yeah. Shame. We'll see anyway.
Yeah, look, we all like to get ahead of ourselves, etc. But it is quite surreal having to plan and organise everything for something that might not
happen. Yeah,
might not happen. But it's one of those things. Where are we going next, Matt?
We are going to. Yeah, I got another interview today. I'm on Flames today. So I caught up with someone.
How many interviews did you get, Cook?
I got none, but I got a load last
he
week.
Did to be, he did, to be fair, last week, yeah, but normal services resume this week and there's absolutely nothing. So luckily... it was great to catch up with Michael Klass, who we haven't actually interviewed since he's... Sorry. Yeah, class. It is class. It was very awkward because I did the interview before I did the intro with him.
Oh, I've got rid of his intro anyway. So, I put the commentary in instead.
Oh, I see.
It's quite good. Okay. He's got the Bristol commentator doing the old... It's going to be Bromley. Yes!
There will be an intro at some point from him.
I apologize. Yeah, probably next week.
It is Michael Klass, so I apologise to him for calling him Klass. And that has come from somebody else. I'm not going to mention who that is. But I've now corrected it, and it is Klass. So... yeah, this is Michael Klass's interview. Michael Klass, this is a delayed interview. We weren't meant to catch up with you a few weeks ago, but you're here and you've been here for a while now with us. How are you finding it?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying my time here. Like, since I've come in, all the boys have welcomed me well. Just trying to get as many games under my belt as I can and help out the team as well as possible.
And you had to be a bit patient, didn't you, at the start of the season, but you seem to have nailed yourself a place in the squad now and have produced some really good displays.
Yeah, it was tough coming into such a great squad with such variety, with different types of players and good players in each position. So yeah, it was tough, and but I could see that there was going to be opportunities for me, and the gaffer took his time with me, and I always had faith in it, so I just kind of understood that I had to wait, and the results were going well for the boys, so I was really happy just keeping things how they were. But yeah, since I've in like more recent games, I feel like getting into the team's been good for me, and yeah, I've been having some good performances to match it too.
And you've come from a side where you've played in League One, and you're now playing alongside a couple of other League One midfielders. Is there a massive gap between the two leagues? I think we saw obviously on Sunday that maybe that isn't the case all the time.
Yeah, like playing with some ex-League One players or players that played in League One last season, and they're very good players, but I wouldn't be able to tell you there was much of a difference between League One and this league. I feel like in the Bristol game, that showed that we matched them. I think we matched them physically, matched them technically, and the result showed that. And when we have a chance to play them again, I feel like we've got every chance that we can beat them. So I feel like there might be slight differences, but mostly it's just similar level.
And you recently extended your loan with us until January at the least. And the comment, one of the comments from Neil was just how much you're enjoying it here. Is that the case?
Yeah, I'm loving time here. Like, I've never come into a club where I felt so welcome, and things are going well for the club and we're getting good results, so that always helps. But I want to stay here as long as possible, really.
And it seems to be a really tight-knit group of players in there. Everybody seems to be really close.
Yeah, the boys are different class. Like, you'd never feel left out. Even from day one when I walked in, everyone was welcoming. It's just a really good bunch of boys.
Michael, thank you, and best of luck for the upcoming games.
Thank you very much.
It was great to catch up with Michael, and yeah, they say you learn something new every day. I've learned how to say his name, so it's Michael Klass. He's been fantastic, hasn't he, Cookie, since he's come in, and since, you know, we've alluded to it in his interview. He had to be patient to get his chance, but he took it with both hands.
Yeah, he did, and what an opportunity. He come from Southend, where he obviously wasn't getting as much game time as he hoped. He come to Bromley with an idea, hopefully, to impress not just Neil, but the fans, and he's doing that. He's fitting in very well with the team, and he's a strong member. And they're all so united this year, the team members, which is fantastic. What a great addition. What a great bloke.
And brilliant to have him on loan for longer as well. It's Neil really, really rates him, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. I think he thinks he's class.
Ah, very nice. Very clever. I like that one.
He's sensational. I'm a big fan of his, and big career destined, I think.
Okay, let's move on then. And speaking of talent, we have the Academy Team of the Week, which is a new initiative from Mark and the team at the Academy. Shout out to Sue as well, who, is a very important part of things as well. And let's read out some of the names. I'm not going to attempt a few of the surnames, I'm going to be honest with you. So congratulations to Ryan, the goalkeeper, Connor, Jerusha, Kian, Kane, Tariq, Kareem, Caden, Giovanni, Malik and Andreas. The player of the week, Ryan Jones, and the boss of the week, Tony Brown. So congratulations to all of those. It really is nice to see the talent in the academy being recognised.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, the manager of the week as well is brilliant for Tony. But I do have this little bit of with Jake Goodman every week as to why he doesn't get it.
Ah, oh, shocking, isn't it? He needs to up his game, doesn't he? If you're listening, Jake, you know you're slacking, mate. You got up it. So, no, congratulations in all seriousness to all of those. And it's great to be able to catch up with it on Ravens Weekly as well. Another event coming up at the club, and it's another evening with after the success of Paul Merson and Teddy Sheringham, and this time it's Psycho Stuart Pearce. Are you coming?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I can't wait. Teddy Sheringham was one for me, Tottenham legend, so it's great to meet him.
And
he was
really looking forward to meeting you. And
I assume he was. These nights are brilliant. You get so up and close to legends. I mean, Tony Adams, Stuart, Teddy Sheringham, Stuart Pearce as well. I mean,
more to come.
Euro 96. Yeah, more to come. Euro 96. Everyone remembers that. Sensational. So it's going to be great to obviously get, because he's very experienced in the management world as well. It's going to be great to get an insight as to his playing days, his England playing days, and obviously managing the 21s and then managing other teams. It's going to be a brilliant night, and it's one I'd recommend. And come on, he's a legend.
I absolutely love him. I hear him on TalkSport quite regularly, and he just talks so much sense. He's got such an experience and breadth of knowledge in the game. I think it's going to be a fantastic night, and I for one will be here with you as well, Cookie. Not sure if you want me cramping your style on your table, to be honest, but yeah,
you can. I'm mainly here for the food.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fine then. That's fine.
It's such a relaxed atmosphere. So the guys, people that haven't done it before, come in, you get to have a photo and a quick chat with an opportunity. You get to hear some stories maybe you won't share anywhere else. You get food, you get drink. It's a very relaxed atmosphere. It's so nice. It lasts a couple of hours, and these guys aren't in a position where they rush off or they seem rushed. It's very relaxed, fun, friendly entertainment. It's something I recommend for everyone to definitely get down and just try.
And as a compere myself, the compere who does these is hilarious. And no, it's not me, before you ask. He's absolutely brilliant, isn't he? It's just such a, like you say, a relaxed atmosphere. And you really feel as if it's very intimate, it's up close. And there is obviously a chance to ask your questions as well, which is a once-in-a-lifetime, potentially, opportunity to do that. So more details are available on our website. If you'd like to inquire about booking a table, you can email events@bromleyfc.co.uk. UK. And just before I forget, the food is banging, isn't it?
Yeah, food's very good. So they do a selection of a platter, and it's definitely something I think, obviously, just give it a try. But Stuart Pearce might not be the ideal person you'd want to see. We try and vary, obviously, many different ex-legends, and I think there are others coming up. I think we're talking about Razor Ruddock coming up as well, which is sensational. There was talk of someone else, I can't name a name, but if we did get that person, I'd lose
it. You'll be the first one booked.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is in association with the Freddie Farmer Foundation as a charity, and Poppy's Path as well, another charity. And I believe the raffle proceeds go to those charities. And some of the raffle prizes on offer last time were absolutely sensational. We've actually got one in the office here. It's Tyson Fury's glove from the Wilder fight, and it's signed and boxed, isn't it? And that was actually won by our director, John Plassard, who very kindly donated it to the back to the club, which is great. And like I say, all the money goes to a fantastic cause. So what's not to like? Come on down. It's on the 22nd of November. That's next Friday, the day before the game away to Sutton. Like I say, more details on our website or email events, that's with an S on the end, at bromleyfc.co.uk. And to finish today, we do have a fan's question of the week. What is, and I don't know if we should say our ones, Cookie, because that might give people ideas. Maybe we should save our ones till next week. Do you have a one-game wonder? As in somebody who's played one game for the club and then just completely disappeared off the face of the earth. I've got one.
Duncan Cully.
No, Duncan had a few games, to be fair to him. But I think we can include players who've had a handful of games, can't we?
It doesn't need to just be one. We was racking our brains the other day, and one particular player comes to mind. We were trying to find. He played for Bromley against Beckenham, and he
yes.
was
yes, yeah, that was your shout. Yeah,
yeah. just trying to rack our brains really with some of these. So we think we're going to put it to you guys. Want to hear what your thoughts are. It doesn't have to just be one. We know that a few people might say Steve Pennell. He's become a bit of an icon. I think,
he is an icon,
players.
Ian Jeffrey
loves him. So the best way to get in touch, it's at Bromley FC on Twitter. Bromley FC, facebook.com/BromleyFC on Facebook, and Instagram at Bromley FC as well, using the hashtag Ravens Weekly.
Yes, don't forget that hashtag.
Or messaging podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk.
So we're really looking forward to this one, aren't we? I think this will bring up some interesting answers. Hopefully the likes of Colin Head, etc., will have some from the past, which we may not have experienced. So, looking forward to getting everybody's answers to that one. And I think that actually brings us to the end of this episode. And we are, as if you've not noticed already, finishing this one without Jeff, who's had to shoot off. So Jeff sends his apologies and his regards. It's the Matt and Cookie to finish the show today. Cookie, thank you.
That's it. And thank you very much, Matt. And thank you for everyone listening. Sorry it's quite a short one. We're still recovering from Bristol last week. And then obviously dealing with Harrogate and Bristol on Tuesday. Let's hope that next podcast, episode 52, is going to be as positive as this one.
Well, I think it's a miracle we're even thinking about getting to 52, you know. It's
people expected us to fail.
They did, yeah.
And it will get to podcast 7 or 8.
But you know what? That expectation of failure only spurred us on. So we're in your ears now.
Will it go to 52?
Well, there's only one way to find out. There's only one way to find out. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening, and we'll catch you again soon. The town where I come from in Bromley.